Blog Talk Radio.
It's Monday night and it's time to get rowdy. Catch up on This Week in ARCA and NASCAR with news and comments. Plus, you never know who will stop by for a visit. Right here on the Rowdy Maglite Show. Here's your weekly radio duo, Rowdy and Mark.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our one-year anniversary of the Rowdy Maglite Show, and I got my catch can man, Mark, on the other line here. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Congratulations, Rowdy, on that 1 year. I haven't been there for the full one, but I'm closing in on my full year with you, too, and it's quite the accomplishment. We're back for a second season, and we're looking forward to making things a lot better than even last year.
Well, Mark, tonight we got Victor Garcia with Elmore Engines, and Victor is the engine program manager for Elmore Engines, and we're going to kind of give the listeners kind of what goes on with Elmore and the power plant that powers the ARCA cars, man.
Well, Rowdy, we discussed at the end of last season what we wanted to do with this season, and one of that was to educate ourselves and the fans on what goes on behind with the cars. And we've had General Tire on, and that was a great, great show. And now we're going to have Elmore, and that's going to be a great, great show. So we're very lucky to be able to get these wonderful guests and be able to fill us in and give us the information that we're all looking for.
Well, at 6:40, Mark, we got Brett Holmes calling in, the driver of the number 23 Chevrolet. So Brett will be on at 6:40. And looking forward from that Mumford guy showing up, Mumford, Alabama.
1 year hometown boys, Rowdy. Yep, I always look forward to talking with Brett. He's a nice young man. He's a great interview. So we're lucky to have this anniversary show be so good.
Well, guys, we're 11 days to the 65th. ARCA series presented by Menards, and it's the 54th running of the Lucas Oil Complete Engine Treatment 200 driven by General Tire. And Mark, that's February the 18th at Daytona International Speedway.
Ooh, Rowdy, the back of my hair on my neck's tingling there. I'm getting real excited. We're going to be there, folks, so make sure you look for us down in the infield.
Well, Mark, you know, we were talking about trying to have a program on Friday and Saturday down there live, so we're still working on that. Everybody just kind of stay in touch with the page, and we'll announce the time, but we should be able to have several drivers, owners, crew members. Hopefully we'll have some guys from General Tire and maybe some guys from Elmore Engines and J&S Shocks.
Well, bring the talk to us, Rowdy.
Well, you know, we've got – that's going to be – actually, the garage opens for just tech work on Wednesday, Mark. And I think we're all going to arrive early there Thursday morning is the plans. But we're going to get the show kicked off for us being there Thursday morning.
Well, we'll have a busy – we're going to be there 3 days, folks. That's it. We're going to be there Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we'll be taking off Saturday evening to head back to our respective homes. We're heading down from Chi-Town Wednesday night. We should arrive, you know, mid-morning or so in Daytona. The earlier we leave, the earlier we get there. So Jeff and I are looking forward to getting down there and doing those live shows on the road.
Well, you know, if anybody's got a question or a person they'd like to hear interviewed, hey, drop me a personal message on my Facebook page, and we'll see if we can't arrange that between Friday and Saturday.
The beauty of the new technology, Rowdy.
It's awesome. Mark, the last I checked, we had 41 entries for the race there for Lucas Oil Complete Engine Treatment 200 driven by General Tire.
What is the starting field for the 200, Rowdy? I'm not sure how many cars they're going to start. Is it 36 or 40?
30. Don't hold me to it, but I believe it's 36. I'm not sure.
That's what I thought too, but you can't hold me to it either, Rowdy. We'll get somebody will let us know what it is, and
that's right.
That's the nice thing about the show. We need to be corrected ourselves sometimes, so don't be afraid to do that, folks. Call up and let us know.
Well, you know, Mark, there's a lot to learn, and you know, first of the year, you get kind of you were kind of rusty after what October the 14th was the last Kansas race, and February the 18th. So, but we're always willing to learn more, aren't we, Mark?
We are, Rowdy, and that's one of the reasons we're, you know, we're doing what we're doing this evening and bringing Elmore on. I absolutely found it fascinating, the company behind the company and reading about them online. And I know a couple of my cohorts, Jeff being one of them, and my friend Pete, we all were just amazed at stuff we found online about Elmore. And ARCA's really lucky to have the program they do with them.
Mark, I mean, Elmore's really stepped the program up to make everybody competitive, no matter, you know, we had 8 winners last year, first-time winners. That's pretty, that says a lot about an engine.
You know, it's sad to see the legacy engines go, Rowdy, and you and I were, you know, both kind of surprised when they went with this Elmore package, but they knew what they were doing, and they knew what it was going to, the cost effects down the road would be, and now the other teams, there's other engines out there that are available that weren't available last year, and teams are picking them up, and they're updating their equipment, and wow, I wouldn't be surprised if we had a, you know, broke the record for winners and new time winners this year either, Rowdy.
Wouldn't surprise me at all, Mark. I mean, of course, you know, Daytona's going to be the last race for the steel bodies. They'll be composite next year, and Talladega also. So we're running down to the very end of the steel bodies, which, you know, the composite body brings the car up to showroom specs on Monday morning, and that's what racing is really all about.
Well, you know what? We saw the cars close up, Rowdy, early in the season and later in the season. And, you know, let's face it, the composite-bodied cars look a lot better shaped than the steel-bodied cars up close. You can't tell from the grandstands, and that's good. But, no, there's a difference. As the season wears on, so does the car.
It does. That's, you know, 20 races. Race number 18, those cars are looking pretty tough, aren't they, Mark? I mean, when we get to Kentucky, sometimes when they roll down the doors, you wonder how they're going to get that car ready for the show, but they always manage to make it.
It's the case of looks can be very deceiving, Rowdy, and the cars run actually better than they look, so thank goodness for that. Makes for good racing then and good fields.
Well, one thing kind of trickled out this past week was Tom Hesser has got a five race deal with back in the 25 car with Venturini Motorsports.
It's a nice fit. It's they get a driver they know they can plug in, knows what the company's all about, and go out and win for them. It's a win-win situation for Venturini and for Tom.
Well, he's a 10-year veteran too, and you got a veteran working with the young guns in the other three cars. I know leadership means a lot on the team. So, you know, Venturini's going to be.
His experience is invaluable for them, I'm sure, Rowdy.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Mark. Well, you know, you got Cunningham Motorsports with Shane Lee and Dalton Sargeant. That's pretty tough. Well, listen, guys. I got Victor on the other side here, and let's bring Victor in. Let's talk a little Elmo Angels with him. Welcome to the Rowdy Maglite Show, there, Victor.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us tonight.
Man, I tell you, Victor, we was kind of talking to Elmore just a few minutes before you come on and called in, but Elmore has really stepped up the racing in ARCA.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the compliments. I mean, it's been definitely a pleasure working with ARCA, definitely, and obviously all the teams that and all of our customers. It's been great, and it's allowed us still more to, you know, venture into something a little bit more different for us.
Well, Victor, your title is what, engine program manager?
Correct. Yeah. So, I'm the program manager for the build shop and ARCA in general. So anything that involves ARCA, from dealing with customers and to building the engines and making sure everything is done properly, and you know, if there's any issues that need to be addressed, I coordinate those efforts with engineering. You know, if there's processes that need to be improved, that's basically what I do, and I take care of them.
Hey, Victor, my question is, from the time that y'all were contacted out from ARCA, how long did it take from contact to start your engine? What kind of timeline did it take Elmore and ARCA to come to an agreement?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's a little bit beyond that, because us as Elmore, we actually raced or had engines in ARCA a few years back in the late 2000s with our Dodge platform engine. So, you know, even though now we are heavily involved in ARCA, we've been involved in ARCA for a long period of time at a way lesser level. So I think our relationship with ARCA, the sanctioning body specifically, started back then. And then, let's say, from the moment when, you know, the conversations with ARCA led to, okay, let's try to work something and develop something, to the first time we had cars on track, was probably about 8 months. So if you look at it, you know, developing a whole engine program in 8 months was quite an undertaking.
Wow.
At the beginning, we were expecting to support one, maybe two cars at the Daytona race back in 2014. Followed by, you know, hey, maybe we can do 10 cars, 10 to 12 cars or so. And at the end, you know, it turned out to be 20 plus cars that we supported. So it was quite a challenge, and it took everybody at Elmore, everybody putting an effort to make it happen, you know, from the machine shop to purchasing department. Imagine outsourcing all those bits that we had to do, that we had to get to put together 20 plus engines, and to engineering, trying to work out all the little bugs and issues, and running through all the durability tests and all the developments to ensure we not only had the performance that we advertised, but also the repetibility, engine after engine after engine. So it was great, and we're pretty proud of it. And I think that it turned out good, you know, and we have a lot of happy customers, and I feel that ARCA as a sanctioning body, they're pleased as well.
I was actually there for the 2 years, and I mean, the first year, y'all were on it, doggone it. I mean, anytime anybody had a trouble, the hood popped up, y'all was right there on it to correct their problems. Hey, Victor, I'm going to pass you on to Mark. And Mark, go ahead. You got Victor on.
Hi, Victor. Welcome for being on the show tonight and taking the time with being us. We really look forward to having you on.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Mark. As I said, pleasure to be here.
Well, I know we sent you a few questions. I don't know if you want any off the top of our heads or not, but we'll give her a shot if, you know, you're up for it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, bring them on. I did get the questions. I reviewed them, and I had a chance to think about it, so appreciate that. But, yeah, no, absolutely. That's what we're here for.
Well, we do, and I'd like to get those questions. You know, one of those questions that we sent you, possibly maybe about the rebuilds and the time allotments in between the rebuilds and what goes on with those rebuilds, if that's possible.
Yeah. So the life of the engine is 1,500 miles, or per rebuild, if you will. So we sent out a fresh engine 1,500 miles later. You know, it's due for a rebuild. So what's expected is that the customers send it back and we give it a freshen up. Some customers are spot on, you know, and they're proactive and they send it 1,400 miles, 1,500 miles. Some decide to push the envelope a little bit further. But based on all the development and durability testing that we have, we can ensure that the engine is going to be performing as advertised and performing properly and safely, if you will, without the risk of failure up until 1,500 miles. Anything past beyond that, you know, you start seeing a little deterioration on the performance of the engine, so power starts to dive down a little bit. And the real risk, I think, behind all that is that as a customer, as an owner of an engine, you start pushing the envelope, whereas the likelihood of a failure is it's higher. The probability of a failure is higher. And then at that point,
right,
you would end up paying a lot more money to get your damaged engine rebuilt, whereas it was just completing one piece, if you will, getting just freshened up.
Correct. Now, does the engine package, is that just the engine and the Holley system alone, or does it come with the drivetrain also? Or is that an option?
The all of the engines that are shipped out of Elmore are shipped as is. Basically, the only option upgrade or options that there is whether you want a clutch spline of 26 or 29 splines, or there's an alternator upgrade option as well. So the engine comes standard with a Power Master alternator, and you can upgrade to a Bosch alternator, which is it's an upgrade unit. So it puts up more current. So basically you have to judge depending on what electronics you're running on the car. You know, you're running cool suits for the driver, how many fans you run, etc. Do you need that demand for higher current? So you may want to opt for the Bosch alternator.
Wow.
But beyond the engine comes from our shop with engine harness, the clutch, the bell housing, starter, alternator. And then you can purchase the ECU. The ECU doesn't include with the main package of the engine because a team may want to have a backup engine, right? But they already bought an ECU, so there's no reason to add that cost on the build price of the engine.
Right.
And then as far as the Holley package that you were asking, Holley does have a Elmore Arca kit, if you will, that they sell. There's one for an oval and one for a road course. And the kit comes with, I believe it comes with headers, but it comes with a chassis loom, which connects the engine main harness into the inside of the car, and you connect your ECU in the firewall or on the dash, depends where you want to put it, the gauges and whatnot. The kit that comes from Holley also comes with a fuel conversion. If you go from a carburetor to an EFI, the fuel injected. So it comes with a fuel pump, the fuel pickup mat, all the lines, etc., to try to make the conversion as easy as possible to our customers.
I'm just absolutely amazed at the program that you're running for the series and how it's growing. So from your 20 so engines to how many are you supplying this year?
It's really hard to forecast, you know, and that's one of the struggles that I've had personally. This is my second year managing the program, and, you know, trying to come up with a forecast on how many engines are we going to rebuild, how many new engine sales are we going to have, because it's so frequent that we get new teams coming on board, you know, and for these Daytona tests, race, typically a lot of teams come out of the woodworks and they want one engine here or there, and it's really hard to put a number on how many teams, cars we're supporting. What I can tell you, though, is that at the moment we're currently building engine 103 and 104, which are going to be our Daytona spare engines that our trackside team is going to have down there as spares for our customers. So, you know, in a little bit over 2 years, we've gone from zero to over 100 engines. We had, I don't know if you guys had the chance to be at PRI, but we had our engine 100 there in display at the ARCA booth.
I unfortunately didn't make it to the show, but I saw the pictures of it. And it was a very exciting time for ARCA and Illmore, and what you guys have done for the program is just absolutely fantastic. And let's see, I think Jeff might have a question for you, Victor, so I'm going to turn you over to Jeff.
Yeah, no problem.
Hi, Victor. How you doing? Appreciate you being on the show and answering these questions tonight. Getting back, you said that you guys were in ARCA, and I noticed Illmore supplied ARCA with engines previously but stopped due to escalating cost. What is the difference between the previous time and the escalating cost and today's cost?
Sure. I would say timing, beyond anything. I mean, back then it was right around the late 2000s, and the economy wasn't doing great, that being one of them. But I think now we tackle it from a different program. So before, from a different perspective, before we were taking old NASCAR, if you will, engines, Dodge engines, and then rebuilding them and putting them in the ARCA. Whereas now we're starting with a clean slate, fresh engine, purpose-built, designed and developed for the ARCA series. So what that has allowed us to do is kind of pick and choose components that make the whole package more affordable. And so you get that on one hand, and then on the other hand, we've been able to have a little bit of a purchasing power in negotiating with our suppliers better pricing as we've built so many engines, right? So when we go on and budget and forecast and price the product, you know, we have a little bit more lever with the supplier saying, hey, you know, we're forecasting so many engines that we're going to build, so there's a chance to get parts and for a better price. And okay. Just, you know, I'm bringing this up because we passed that. It's not like we take that into consideration and then we decide to increase our profit margin and keep all those savings, if you will, for ourselves. But we pass that along to our customers, which is great, you know. And I think that's one of the things that has allowed not only the engine program to take off the way it's done, but also for the series to grow as it has.
Okay. Now, another question. In the process of building these engines, who determined the specs for the 396 motor? Was it ARCA? Did they come to you and say, this is what we want? Or did you guys come up with a package and say, maybe this is what you want? How did you come up with the specs for the car? What was the process in that?
No, it was definitely a joint effort. I mean, ARCA and us, we've had a really close relationship, and we had it from the beginning. Now, ARCA is one of our customers. Obviously, we have the teams that are our customers, but ultimately, ARCA is our customer as well. So they tell us what they wanted as far as powers, torques, what general targets they were, what kind of speeds they wanted to see, and from there we can derivate, we can figure out where we had to be power-wise, and the important one, price. But from there, you know, they trusted us as the engine experts, if you will, to come up with the finer details and the finer specifications for the engine, you know, like what bring packages, what piston design, et cetera, et cetera. So it was definitely a combined joint effort. ARCA kind of gave us the targets to aim for, and then we just made it happen.
Now, like the components of the engines, how did you guys determine who would supply your components to your engines? Was it through performance, durability, availability, price, so on? How did you determine that?
Sure. A little bit of all of the above. I mean, price was a very important one for sure, but nevertheless, we had to ensure that we supply a reliable product, and as I said earlier, consistent build. Like, every engine that leaves our shop is plus or minus 1% in power. So we have a power guideline that's established, and then every engine that gets built, whether it's a new build, whether it's in the first, second, third, fourth, ninth build, every engine that leaves, it's plus or minus 1%. So we had to ensure that the quality of the components was spot on so our builders can put the engines together and have that repeatability. So that was important in trying to come up with a recipe, if you will. So say price, quality, and ensure that within that quality that we're discussing, the product that we use was, is the same and consistent from year after year. And I have to say, it's been challenging. Nevertheless, with some of our suppliers, we had to go back and say, hey, things are not looking good. And we've had some challenges and roadblocks that have, that we had to overcome. But in the process of doing that, we've always kept ARCA praised just so they know and they understand what our point is, and go back to the suppliers and have them address those issues, because we're going into the third, fourth, fifth year hopefully of the program, and the spec is the same. The spec continues to be the same, so we need that repeatability and consistency.
Now, getting to the engines. Now, how do you test the engines to reassure the reliability of the engines, and how are they done? So, how are the engines compared to each other? So, someone doesn't have more of a someone might have an advantage over another one. Are all the engines completely equal? Can you explain the process of how they are done so you have the same engine from one driver to another?
Yeah, okay. So the first part of your question, how do we determine that's going to be durable? So when we were developing the engine, coming up with the specs and what suppliers we were going to use, we went through extensive testing. And what I mean is, you take theoretically these combinations should work, and then you put it on a dyno, and then you run it through our durability cycle on the dyno, which is pretty rigorous, if you will. It's over 10 hours just running the engine on anger. And yes, at the beginning, we had a number of engines that failed, and then we take them apart and understand what failed and make changes accordingly. So when we were happy with the spec and knowing that the spec was going to last the desired engine life at that point, then we had a recipe. And so everything is documented and pretty much ensuring that every builder that is going to build an ARCA engine has that spec sheet in front of them. And not only what tolerance is, what clearance is, what fits, the certain components have to have, but also what procedures do they need to do. So it's consistent engine after engine. So yes, every engine builder might have their different way of doing things, but the overall procedure of getting to the end product has to be followed and has to be the same. So now you have 2, 3, 4, and even at times 7 engine builders putting these engines together, but they all follow a very strict guideline of procedures and tolerances and limits. And then once you have an engine together, again, whether it's a new build or a rebuild, it doesn't matter. They all go down to the dyno. Now, let me take a little step here and describe our dyno. I mean, dynos are, for us, a quality check. We don't play the dyno game, if you will. We all we want to get out of our dynos is to ensure that the engines are the way we want them to be. It's a quality check for us. So our dyno cells are 100% calibrated, meaning every month they get checked for calibration. Then the air that gets put into the engine comes from a combustion air chamber that regulates the humidity as well as the temperature of the air to maintain repeatability. So when an engine arrives to dyno, basically gets broken in. So when the customer receives the engine, it's ready to go. It's all broken in, and they can run it on Anger right away. And then from there, they do a series of power pulls and get the torque and horsepower numbers off of that engine. Now, they compare it against a base power and torque curves that we have, and then the engine has to be plus or minus 1% of that, you know. And if it's under that, then it gets kicked back to the build shop and say, hey, guys, this engine's not good enough, you know. And if the engine has more power than that, guess what? It gets kicked back to the build shop and say, hey, guys, there's something going on here, you know. And those are the main parameters that we looked at. But then we also measure blow-by and engine vacuum just to make sure that every engine that leaves our shop is plus or minus 1% from our guideline, and it's going to be a product that's going to last and perform the way it's expected for the life of the engine, which is 1,500 miles.
Now, getting to there, that was something I was going to ask. Now, does the performance fall off of an engine with an engine with, I know if you want them to rebuild around 1,500 miles, you can turn them in at 12 to 15, but does the performance fall off from an engine with 1 mile on it compared to a car with an engine with 1,500 miles on it?
The performance of the engines typically pick up a little bit as the engine loosens up, you know, and we see that across all engines. But it stabilizes and stays where it wants to be up, you know, for the 1,500 miles. Now, after 1,500 miles, we've dynoed some engines that come back, and yes, it starts to drop off for sure.
Okay.
You probably have, you know, you can probably safely be 1,600 miles, and then it starts to come down.
Okay. Now, the engines are sealed and banded. Now, how much does the teams, what can they still do with the engine? Or do you guys have your technical supports available at all times on the track, at the tracks? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have a team of trackside techs that travel to every ARCA sanction event, whether it's a race, whether it's a test. And so they're there to troubleshoot and assist our teams with whatever issues they might have. Typically, you know, the teams cannot break the seals and get in the engine. And, you know, that's just generally by ARCA rules. It's not really necessarily us. But, you know, if the teams start to, you know, try to do things on their own, I don't know, depends on what they try to do. You know, it goes against our recommendations of the engine. And we can't ensure the performance or the durability of the engine at that point. Now, at every event, you know, there's an Ilmore tech that sits on tech line, tech revision there at the events, and just goes over the engine, make sure that everything is the way is expected to be per our spec. And it's just we see it more than anything just as a trying to help out the customers to get the best experience out of their engine.
Okay. Now, these engines are being used on all varieties of tracks, short tracks, super speedways, road courses, dirt tracks. With 700 horsepower and 500 pounds of torque, how do you regulate the control of horsepower for the specific track that they're running?
So all that is done through the calibration in the ECU. We have three sets of calibrations, one for short tracks, one for medium tracks, if you will, and then one for super speedway tracks. At every event before and the teams are aware of these. So, for example, if the team is going to take their car to the chassis down and simulate a dirt track setup, they typically send us their ECU and we flash it, we program it to a short track cal, and then send it back to them, and that's what they use. But that's one of the things that our trackside techs do at the beginning of every event. They just ensure that every car has the correct calibration for that track.
Okay. Now, the 396, does that have any special meaning or reference? Where does that 396 come in at?
displacement of the engine. That's 3 inches.
Okay. Now, is this 396 being used in any other series of racing at this time or no?
Not that I know of. We use one of the things that we at Ilmore want to do is just try to cross the usage of our engines, and we take that base architecture of the engine and try to apply it to different things. But at the moment, Arca is the only series that's running these packages, the spec as it is.
Now, getting back to the rebuilds, am I correct that there is like 3 phases of a rebuild? Like after the first, there's a first rebuild, then when it comes back to a second time and they go into other specific parts, then a third time they go into other different parts of the engine?
Yeah, so we have a very strict engine component mileage life. So the first time that the engine comes in for rebuild, you can imagine all of the components are still fresh and get reused. For example, the crank, the connecting rods, etc. So we keep track of how many miles these components have. So, for example, the pistons, they get replaced every rebuild, but the connecting rods, they don't. Now, every component of the engine gets completely inspected before it gets put back together. So the connecting rods, the crankshaft, the block, all gets crack checked and ensure that it's meeting the tolerances that we're expecting. But after a certain amount of rebuilds, depending on what component we're talking about, then that component gets replaced, whether even if it looks fine, even if it's not cracked, even if the dimensions are correct, we just can't ensure that this component is going to reach to the next or safely make it to the next 1,500 miles life worth of the engine.
Okay, like on the first phase, I know you guys do like the pistons, the rings, the bearings, the valve springs, and the intake valves. So when the engine comes back for a second rebuild, now when you do the second rebuild, is that first part of the rebuild just kind of done again?
Absolutely. What you just described, the first rebuild, that's, let's call it the standard rebuild, and that will get done every single time.
Okay.
And then any additional components beyond that would be the components that we're talking about.
Yeah, like the second rebuild would do your valve seat lifters, your rocker arms, and other things. And so when it comes in for a third rebuild, you'll go back over 2 and 1? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated than that. But so the first rebuild, all the valves get changed, all the rockers, valve springs, seats, and all that. The second rebuild, get all that, plus the alternator gets replaced. If it's a PowerMaster alternator, if it's a Bosch alternator, that lasts longer. Then, for example, the water pump cartridge gets changed. And so on. Then the third, and now we're strictly talking if the engine only does 1,500 miles, correct? And then from there on, you know, it's a whole matrix and schedule for components that get replaced. The oil pump gets rebuilt after a few rebuilds. Its connecting rods get replaced after 4 rebuilds, and so on.
Okay, I think we're kind of running out a little bit of time, but I got a couple more questions if we have time. Hey, I know you guys did your 100th engine. How big of a milestone was that for you guys? And I was looking at some stats that since the engine has been going, you had 50 teams that purchased it, and winning all 40 races that it was entered in with 25 different winners and 18 first-time winners. How is the accomplishment for you guys?
Oh, it's a fantastic milestone. I mean, we're really proud of it, and it's just great for us as a company, you know, and to put that in our books. I think a lot of people know Ilmore, the name Ilmore, from IndyCar racing and Formula One racing and all that, and the whole. Well, part of the idea of these and these milestones that you're describing are big for us because we want to reach out further and beyond that, you know, and having our name associated with ARCA and the history that ARCA has, and it's been great. But beyond that, the big milestone that what you just described represents for us is turnaround that the series has had and the success that the engine program overall has had and how much it's helped the racing ARCA community and family grow. That on its own, a little bit selflessly from just Ilmore, I think that's what we are most proud of, to be able to work with a series in this way and be successful in a result of an increased car count and increased overall series growth.
Alrighty. I really appreciate your time and answering these questions. I think we're running out of time, so thanks for your time.
Yeah, no, absolutely, guys. Thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, if you guys have any other questions or if you want to reschedule a follow-up, I mean, I'm always here for you guys.
Hey,
Victor,
one quick question there, Victor. You going to be at Daytona?
Yes, sir, I'll be at Daytona. I'll arrive on Thursday.
All right. We're looking forward to seeing you. Victor, you want to tell everybody where they can find Ilmore Engines and keep up with that?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So you can find our Ilmore Engines, you know, direct from our Michigan factory. You can email me directly at GarciaV, GarciaV as in Victor, at Ilmore.com, Ilmore.com. Shoot me an email, give me your name, and I'll send you all the information you need regarding engine pricing, options, etc. And if not, you can always find our service techs at the racetrack in the Ilmore trailer.
Hey, Victor, appreciate you coming on, man. You've answered a lot of questions, and thanks, Jeff, for your questions.
No problem.
No problem, guys. Thank you, and have a good evening.
All right.
You too,
Victor.
Thank
you, sir.
Good to have you back on.
Good night.
Right.
All right, folks, I'm going to jump in here. We're going to bring the driver of number 23 Chevrolet, Brett Holmes, on, who's getting ready to make his start at the 65th ARCA Series presented by Menards. Hey, Brett, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Man, it's good to have you back home. You got that 23 Chevrolet ready for Daytona?
Yeah, we're just putting the finishing touches back on it now. After the test, we made a few changes, but we're just putting the final touches on it and getting ready to load up and head out.
Well, you was running at testing, using the top 10 at testing, which is not bad.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I feel like anytime you're in the top 10 at a super speedway, you at least got a chance. And, I'm really happy with our car, and I feel like, you know, as soon as we improved on it between this break of between the test and the race, that we'll be good to go for the race. And I'm really excited to see what happens. I mean, this will be my first Daytona start. This is my second time testing there, but I've never got a chance to race there. And, obviously, so hoping it all goes well for the race.
Well, Brett, I'm looking forward to seeing you down there. Mark and I and Jeff will be there Thursday morning, and we're really looking forward to it. I'm going to pass you on over to Mark and let Mark give you a little quiz there. Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Rowdy. Hey, Brett, good to hear from you again. I think the last time I saw you was down at Pensacola.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think it was actually. Yeah, at the Snowball Derby.
You guys were pretty busy that weekend. So, and it was a longer than expected weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I we didn't have a good weekend there than we did last year, but that happens sometimes. And I was pretty frustrated, but even with the Derby like getting rained out and pushed back as far as it would, I wouldn't have been able to make it because of class and finals, but, still that the principle of it is, you know, we didn't do as well as we wanted to, but, hey, it's all right. I mean, that's what racing's about, and going to the track and coming home and improving from it, so.
Well, it sounds like you keep your head up straight and looking forward, and that's a good thing to do, Brett. Now, are you still in school, and have you transferred schools too besides, or are you still at Auburn, I believe?
Yeah, I'm still at Auburn. Just been going back and forth a little bit from, you know, school in the shop on the weekends a little bit. And, you know, there's not too many races over this semester, and it's not affecting my school too much, although I'm having to miss a few days here and there of class, but it's not too big of a deal, and just got to know how to balance both, really, you know.
Well, more power to you, Brett. That's not an easy thing you're doing, combining this racing, going to school, and you have to have some kind of a social life, too, I'm sure, out there. So I commend you, and I hope you can keep it up.
Well, thank you. I mean, honestly, going to parties and all the football games and stuff like that isn't so much of me. I just really enjoy getting to travel all over the country and getting to race at all these places and meet the people I do. And, not a lot of people get that opportunity. And that's what I really take a step back and look at. And so it really doesn't make me worry about the other little things.
Are you going to be able to do any short track racing besides your ARCA schedule this year?
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I think we're going to do, a couple, three or four races before the summer starts at Montgomery and Pensacola, and maybe a super race or two. Man, I wish I was going to Bristol. You know, they're having a late model race at Bristol this year. And
you're a little tied up at Toledo that weekend.
Yeah, we got Toledo that weekend, unfortunately. But, that would have been a really cool experience to go to Bristol in a late model. But, in the summer, it's just really hectic with the ARCA series, and that's all we'll be really focused on then. But
you're racing almost every week there for a while through the middle of the summer. You really don't have time to do anything else, do you?
Right, yeah, that's all I'm planning on doing over the summer is just working in the shop and going to the racetrack. But later in the season, when it in the fall when it kind of fades out, I'll be doing a lot more bigger late model races, probably some at Pensacola, maybe the Winchester 400 or All American 400, and just a few races here and there. But like I said, that our main focus is ARCA this season.
Well, while it should be, I think you're going to have a really great season. And Rowdy tells me a little story. He had a conversation with you and about going for Rookie of the Year, and he goes, nah, you were going for the championship. Good luck with that. I think you can do it. You guys got a great team. Go for it, buddy.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's what I was telling him. I mean, if you're going to do the whole season, you might as well go for it all. And That's just our mentality right now.
Well, it's a great mentality to have, Brett, so keep it up. The best of luck. We'll see you down in Daytona. And I'm going to turn you over to Jeff. I think Jeff has a couple questions for you, too.
Okay, thank you.
Hey Brett, how are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not too bad. Hey, since you ran seven races last year, you still are eligible to run for Rookie of the Year this year, is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. And, we only ran seven this past year. And honestly, I wish I would have got to run a little bit more just so I would have had more experience for this year. But just we weren't established enough with our ARCA stuff. And it was just kind of enough to get our toes wet, but and still running a bunch of our late model stuff. So, yeah, we only got to run seven last season.
Now, during the testing, you were in the top 10 for both days, but you were eighth overall. You said you had some, your aero body, but you kind of figured that out before you left. And then you said you were about 2/10 off, and you were going to take it back and kind of work on the hood and the fenders and stuff like that. Did you go back and make those changes, and do you think you have what you need for the race now? In qualifying?
Yeah. We've already fixed the car up at the shop the way we wanted to, and rebondoing it and stuff like that. And, like I was saying earlier, in the single car runs, we felt like we were about 1/10 and a half to 2/10 off. And, you know, really that's where we feel like we're, you know, lacking a little bit of narrow. But in the draft, I feel like we're pretty strong. I mean, you know, last day, the second day when we were in a big group with the Cunningham Cars and Mason Mitchell Cars, you know, I feel like we were pretty strong compared to them, you know, but to be completely honest with you, I mean, we're, you know, we're drafting most of the time. I mean, the qualifying is all group drafting and now, and that's how they'll have it that's how they'll have it set up this time around. And I'm not too worried about it. You know, you just got to be in that top 10 and have a little bit of luck, and you always have a chance for the win, I think.
Now, with your single car runs, the changes you made at your shop, do you think you made the right changes, or you wouldn't know, or do you think you'll know better when you get out to the track and start running by yourself? Is that when you would kind of know what, if you need to make some more changes?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, we'll have 2 days of practice there, but I feel like the changes we already made, we know for sure are going to help it a little bit. It's not going to hurt it at all. So I'm not too worried about that, but there's only so much you can change at the racetrack, especially in the super speedway cars. But like I said, I'm not too worried about our car. I just, I feel like I've got to make the right choices during the race. And I believe in my guys, and I have no doubt that we'll be bringing our best piece to the racetrack that we can possibly bring. So even with our lack of experience in the ARCA series, like I said, this is just our really first full year with our new team. I mean, a lot of these teams have been established for a long time. So I'm really looking forward to see how we match up against those other guys.
Now, I noticed that I was reading that you were moving your shops from Alabama up to Statesville, North Carolina. Now, is that move all complete now, and how is that going?
Well, kind of. I mean, when I said that, I meant that just our ARCA stuff is staying in North Carolina. All of our late model stuff and our shop is still in good old Munford, but I don't plan on completely moving out there. And but I think that was the best choice for the ARCA stuff to go out there, just because of the resources in North Carolina. Everything racing is there, and everything you need, and all the people. And it's just hard, you know, around this area to find people that know this stuff and work on this stuff. And I mean, I think that was definitely a good move for us. And but yeah, we've part of this off season, we've been getting our shop reestablished up there, and getting parts and pieces moved up there. And you know, it's just been a whole process and a lot of going back and forth, but and a lot of late nights. But you know, I feel like we're pretty close to getting finished up there, and be pretty good for the rest of the season.
Now, that move to Statesville, you're with GMS Racing. Is that Gallagher Motorsports, correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah, we're in a building right up the hill from theirs.
Now, with their, I don't know if you want to call it alliance or whatever, how is the development and technology improved with working with them on your cars and for the season?
I mean, a good bit. I mean, they've even Mike Beam, and the manager at GMS, he's been really helpful to us, and Moore Gallagher, the owner. I mean, they've even been really excited about our deal and with the ARCA stuff, and I feel like we got a good thing going there at GMS. And you know, if anybody comes in and wants to drive, you know, they've got an opportunity to do it in the ARCA series, truck series, or Xfinity, and that's a full slate right there for everybody. And you know, with them and those upper levels and the technology they've had, they've, you know, really been helping us out, and our pull down rig stuff. And even when we go testing later in the season, they've offered to send an engineer or two with us. And I think that's really going to be beneficial. And I can't, you know, ask for any more help than what they've offered. And they've been extremely great to us. And I just hope we can keep that relationship going. And I wouldn't want to move anywhere else.
And you brought on a new crew chief this year, Brian Berry. How's the communication? And in addition with Byron, how has it escalated your program?
I mean, so far so good. I mean, we, you know, I feel like at the test, we we communicated well. And he's actually got his brother is actually from Oxford, Alabama, right next to us, and that's how we kind of got to know him. And he's been around this stuff forever. I mean, he's you know, crew chief for a bunch of truck teams and Xfinity teams, and you know, he we talked to him over the off season, and he was leaving where he was at, and we just thought it'd be a really cool deal for him to come help us with, you know, Grant, you know, running full time in the trucks this season. We need somebody to replace him, and so I feel like that was a good move. I mean, you know, even though he hasn't had as much experience in the ARCA series as a lot of other guys, I feel like, you know, a lot of that stuff carries over from trucks and Xfinity with those big heavy cars and the truck arms.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I noticed he was in with the Xfinity, and he's been collaborations with Brendan Gaughan and Mike Cope. So,
yeah, I mean, he's worked with a lot of people too. I mean, that's definitely one thing he has is experience, and been to almost every track. So, even when I need help, you know, somewhere, looking at, you know, as far as lines goes and where I need to be at on the racetrack, or if I need to be doing anything different, I can look for him for some advice. But yeah, I mean, I feel like, you know, a lot of that stuff carries over from those other series, so I think we'll be just fine with what we got. So
now, who's your sponsors on your car and stuff like this? Can you tell us about your sponsors?
Well, we don't have any primary sponsor this season. It's just a family funded deal, and you know, we're still obviously looking and wanting any opportunity we can get, and if anybody is you know, wanting to help. But I know we have a few associate sponsors that'll help us a little bit throughout the year with Southern States Bank and Veterans Oil. But we're in talks with some people right now trying to get something going. But as of right now, we don't have any primary sponsor.
Now, I was reading, and I didn't realize this, but can you tell, you were a dirt car racer at one time before?
Oh, yeah. I mean, ever since I was a little kid, I mean, my dad, Stacy Holmes, he, when he was back in his mid-20s, which is a stone age ago, but he started out in dirt late models, and that's, you know, when I grew up, I was born, and I'd grow up, you know, going to the dirt track and watch him, mainly at Talladega, but he traveled a little bit around the Southeast and with the Southern All-Star Series, and that's how I really got into racing. And so I guess you could say, you know, dirt track racing is part of my roots. But I started in dirt go-karts, and then moved up to dirt late models eventually. And, you know, it's a completely different driving style from this asphalt stuff. And that was the hardest transition I had to make from dirt late models to asphalt. And like I said, that was a tough transition, but I mean, I think it's made me a better driver today, just being really aggressive and knowing how to handle the car.
All right. I appreciate your time, and good luck on your season, and thanks for your time.
Yes, sir.
Thanks,
thank you.
Jeff. Hey, Brett, that well, y'all with GMS, that's really going to further your program on up to even farther in years to come, because GMS has really stepped up their program in Xfinity and trucks, and there's a good stepping stone to keep going up the steps.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's the plan, honestly. I mean, I feel like, you know, once we feel like we're ready to move up, and I definitely think we wouldn't do it with anybody other than GMS, and they've definitely proved themselves this past season, and or these past two seasons, really, in trucks, winning a few races in the championship this past year. And they're still working on their Xfinity stuff, but that's, you know, their newest part of their team, and they've still got a ways to go there. And but I feel like, you know, this year they'll do a lot better with their new help they got coming on.
Well, Brett, we've 11 days to race day. That's coming on us fast, isn't it, friend?
Yeah, it can't come soon enough, honestly. It's been this long of a wait, you know, being out of a car. It's been too long being out of a car, so.
I understand that. It's been a long wait for us, too. We've been steadily slowly waiting on it, and it's jumped up on us now. We're 11 days, and that's hard to believe, and it's rolling fast. Brett, you want to give a shout-out to you, where everybody can find you on social media and your sponsors?
Yeah, we got a new website coming soon. It's being worked on right now at brettholmes.com. And then as far as social media goes, you can follow us on our Facebook page, Brett Holmes Racing, and my Twitter and Instagram at @BrettHolmes_2.
Brett, man, from Mumford, Alabama. Hey, we're getting the Alabama gang back, my friend, and you're part of it.
I'm trying to represent the best I can. We got to win. We got to win. I mean, that's what it's all about. So
you're doing good, Brett. We're looking forward to seeing you in Daytona. Hey, I appreciate you coming on and being part of it. And I'm looking forward to having you on after a big win in ARCA, sir.
I'm looking for it, too. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett, for coming on. You're always welcome to come back. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. See ya.
All right, Mark. Jeff was full of the night, wasn't he, Mark?
Well, we're lucky we have Jeff. All those great questions he had tonight, we were able to sit back and listen a little bit, Rowdy, and we appreciate it, Jeff. It's great questions. You really helped the show. We're glad you're on, and we look forward to doing this every week with you.
Thanks. I appreciate it, and I hope to be there every week.
We'll keep reminding you. Don't worry. We got you hooked.
I'm going to tell you guys, if you don't know anything about Elmore's, all you got to do is listen to the program. I think we pretty much got the basics on Elmore down.
You know, Rowdy, we had a lot of great questions, and all the help we had getting those questions and getting them answered today. And we got a ton of information, but I just feel like we barely scratched the surface, and we probably could go another 2 or 3 shows with Victor just talking about the engine program.
Oh, I had more questions myself, and I didn't even get to ask.
Well, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, hey, we're going to be down there at Daytona with them, and we can get with them and work out some more with them down there.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to going to Daytona and getting together with you and Jeff Rowdy. And we always have a good time. We always see some good action. We're going to get a lot of stuff done in a short amount of time. And we're going to be on the fly. So look for us. We're going to be busy, folks.
We're going to be busy. We're definitely going to be busy. We're waiting on Joey Katina to call in next. And, you know, guys, Joey's going to come in and start having a little segment at the 7 o'clock witching hour, 8 o'clock Central Time, or Eastern Time, 7 Central.
Well, Joey did such a nice job in that interview. We couldn't help. He got hooked with you too, Rowdy. There's something about your personality.
Well, we're going to bring him on and see how he's doing tonight. Hey, Joey.
Hey, good evening, guys. And, Rowdy, congratulations tonight. 1 year. Very proud of you, man. We kind of talked about it last week, but you guys did a great job with all the winners you brought in last year over your radio show. And I guess I'm kind of excited and scared to be a part of it in 2017 with you guys.
Oh, nothing to be scared about, Joey. We don't bite. Trust us. We're glad to have another knowledgeable person on the show. So, yeah, welcome aboard.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I was telling Rowdy, you know, it's getting to the point, you know, it's so hard to make it in the sport. You know, we got to figure out something to do, you know, when we hang it up and quit fighting the fight and talking about racing is definitely something I'd love to do. So I appreciate the opportunity and look forward to launching a new segment with you guys.
Yeah, we got another full year to play with, and hopefully they'll bring us back next year. And Rowdy, I appreciate it. And thank you, my friend, for bringing me along on this wonderful ride you've got going here.
Well, guys, you know, it starts all with Tim Despain and Steve Wilson for giving us the opportunity and the time. And
here.
I guess the trust that we were going to be on the trust that we were going to be here every Monday night, and we have been here every Monday night through holidays. We had 2 Monday nights off, and that was because a sister station wanted everybody to take the holidays off, or we would have been on, wouldn't we? Mark, we had plans to carry on.
We were planning on broadcasting through the holidays, but Tim and Steve decided that, you know, that's the best thing to do is, you know, we'll take a couple of weeks off and give ourselves a chance to refresh. And who knows? They're probably right.
Well, Joey's going to come on and kind of cover. Joey, your segment's going to be kind of covering the trucks and the Xfinity division. Side of it, and we're going to have a little round table discussion.
Yeah, obviously, we definitely want to stretching the show out. The Rowdy Maglite Show wants to stretch out in the NASCAR world, and obviously, the next step for the ARCA guys is the Truck Series and then the Xfinity Series, and you can't really talk about those two series without talking about the Monster Energy Cup Series. So, I think this year we're going to have a ton of things to talk about. Hopefully, have a lot of people call in and more or less have a roundtable discussion and just talk about the world of NASCAR.
Well, our plans is to stretch this on out closer to a 2-hour program, and which, you know, there's been a lot of times we've stretched it out 2 hours, and we could stretch it out every weekend 2 hours, Mark, couldn't we? I mean, we just have tried to keep ourselves limited to an hour, hour and 10 minutes.
It's been a nice fit, and it would have been, you know, we would have pressed ourselves a little bit to go for a full 2 hours on some nights, Rowdy. So with Joey's addition and Jeff's addition, and we're going to be able to go a little bit longer and cover a little bit more in detail what's going on out there.
That's exactly right. So next Monday night, we'll have the third segment, and it'll at the top of the hour, we'll have Joey Catena on, and hey, I'm looking forward to it, Joey.
I think it's going to be fun. It's something new. It's anybody that knows me knows I love racing, and talking about it, I have a tendency to really get fired up. You know, I'm a race fan first, and you know, so. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to some of the people that we may get a chance to bring on and just talk racing, have some fun, and, again, continue to grow with your great program.
Well, Joey, before you get gone, tell us about your little program that you got coming up, your event at Rio.
Yeah, we're going to it's actually 2 weeks away, so it's kind of – we were sitting on the couch talking about it a while ago, and we're 2 weeks away from our first benefit concert for the Racing for Awareness campaign. We're representing the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. We're bringing them into racing. So, you know, as we talk about NASCAR, obviously, you know, we're going to have some exciting news to talk about as we have a goal this year to bring in suicide prevention to the forefront of NASCAR. They want to be there. We want to be there. So it's just right now it came together so late. We're still kind of putting some of the ideas on paper, but we went ahead and we're doing what really this program's about right now out of the box, and that's to get some awareness out there. Our first event is, again, it's February 19th. We're going to be at Rio's Bar and Grill in Helena, Alabama, for all you Alabama listeners out there. We got 3 great bands going to be there too, and they're donating their time. We have Ladies First, Megan T. McMillan, great artist. We have Sam Edwards, former Dale Jarrett Racing Adventure instructor / late model racer, now country music singer. So he's kind of going down the Kyle Petty path, I believe. We'll have to ask Sam about that a little bit more. But and then we have Cotton Box Road, David Hill and the guys. I mean, you know, I've always wanted to do a concert benefit type thing, and it all just really worked out great. So We have this event coming up in 2 weeks, and then next month, March 19th, we're going to be at Autobahn Speedway in Bessemer, Alabama, and proceeds from the purchase, 22%, goes back to the foundation. Everything that we do, 100% is going back to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. So we hope to continue to do monthly events. We want to do another concert. We want to, every time we do something, we want it to get bigger and better. We have race car drivers right now supporting our program. Gene Paul is actually going to be driving at Daytona in his Dodge, supporting Racing for Awareness. Tim Rozell, for all you Talladega Short Track fans, Mr. Tim's came on to support our program. He'll have a logo on his race car. So, I mean, it's just growing, and we're just trying to watch and just let it happen. So we're very blessed, and, we're excited about the upcoming event.
Hey, Joey, I appreciate you. You know, that subject has touched probably every family around this country, and it's a really important topic to be talking about.
Well, and it's something that, yeah, I mean, I was affected at a young age. My racing career, we actually could say we have a racing career versus just hanging on like I've been doing. But I lost my grandfather. He turned wrenches for Bo Anthony and Donnie Anthony. We raced back in the old days at BR and Montgomery here in Alabama. Donnie was inducted to the Hall of Fame a couple years ago. So it was our deal, kind of just like Bobby did Davey, graduate high school, and then we'll go race. And that's something that's really cool about Brett Holmes, to see Brett still staying in school and doing that and putting school, you know, right there with racing. It's unfortunate he chose Auburn, but, you know, we'll get over that. But, it is something. I've talked to so many different people just over the last couple of days that we're working with right now, whether it be our marketing group that we're working with now, even some race team owners have been affected. And it's been something that when you're affected, talking about it is even an issue, and sometimes you keep that inside. So we just want to go out there and try to make a difference. You know, if we get a little bit of an opportunity with a platform that we're fighting to keep in motorsports to continue to get our voice out there. So, and obviously having this great opportunity now to talk to the radio with you guys to share Racing for Awareness and continues to grow. RacingForAwareness.com, it's up, and I've got to apologize. We're not complete with the website, but it is live. I'm having to do all this on my own and be creative, and I have trouble writing some of the stuff. And so I brought in some more people to kind of help finish it up, but we're really close. Aaron Grosscroft is a great friend of mine. He does websites. Anybody out there looking for a website, either a race car driver or a band, this kid, he does a hell of a job. I think right now $250 gets you a website, and that's free hosting. Basically, the only thing that you pay for is your domain. So I don't think there's anything out there in the town that can touch it. And Aaron, he's in a wheelchair. He's a great young man, and this is what he does to make a living, is creating websites and doing things of that nature behind his computer. So we're very proud to be a part of what Aaron's doing. And like I said, there's so many people that's helped us, the logos, Jay Lopez, and so many guys. But, you know, Rowdy, just like your show, you can't do it by yourself. There's so many great people out there that help you get it done. It's hard to mention them all.
It is. You know, first of all, Steve and Tim at the pit stop, you know, for letting us do this. And then Dusty and Steve over at the Fastest Iron Radio for giving us a little time on Saturday mornings, and Dusty for helping us with our intro and outros. And, man, you know, we're just lucky to have great – hey, that's racing, man. You just don't find no bad friends in racing.
I don't know about that.
But they don't hang around long, Joey. They're far and few between, and they just make – A terrible lasting impression, and we have to do our best to kind of let that go off on the wayside and concentrate on the good, and that's the majority of it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, and that's been my motto. I mean, you know, there's been so many, you know, Rowdy's known me for quite a long time. We have a mutual friend between us, and they used to tell me about this Rowdy Maglock guy. And the very first race team I go and work with, there he is. And we've been great friends ever since, but he definitely knows my path and some of the scoundrels we've been messing around with and trying to help out and things of that nature. But you know what? Again, very blessed for the opportunity to even complain about it. You know what I mean?
I do, Joey. We're all blessed. I mean, you know, we've shut down and circled one whole year. And, guys, I'm going to tell you what, the folks that have been on this show and everybody that's been on, I appreciate it, even up to Ron Drugger. And we've got some great people lined up for this coming year. It's just going to have to, you know, everybody just going to have to be patient and let us roll through here with it.
We're going to get you on one way or another. We're going to get you on. So, yeah, like Rowdy said, we need a little patience, but we're going to get everybody on who wants to be on. We'll be on the show, and we'll give you your time.
Well, our whole deal is to make ARCA more appealing to everybody. And Joy, you know as well as I know, it's still grassroots down here with us. And it's like it used to be years ago in the Cup side, but before the money overrode us. Of course, it's still expensive to race, but drivers and owners still have time to talk on race day with you.
Absolutely. And it's just a different it's the calm before the storm, I guess you'd say, before you step across to the NASCAR gates. And it is. It's a great series. They've done a wonderful job with it. You know, the Elmore engine coming in is, you know, I think everybody was kind of questioning that and kind of on the fence about it because of so many legacy motors out there. But it's turned out to be a great move. I mean, they're way smarter than me. I know that. But, you know, racing is racing, and it's an expensive sport. So, you know, it does. It's a family sport, and slowly but surely some of the families are not able to maintain. Hopefully, racing is going to, you know, come back around and allow some more of those families to come back and be more involved in motorsports. And obviously, that's what built the sports families, you know.
That's exactly right. Joey, before you get off here, you want to give where they can find you on social media?
Well, first, I definitely want to thank, you mentioned him a while ago, but Dustin Harmer, got to thank him, the guys at the Fastest Hour and Radio here out of Birmingham, Alabama. Dustin stepped up and really helped us out a ton, and I thank you a lot for taking time out of your schedule, Dustin, to help us out. Real fast, it's not about me, it's about the program, it's about the campaign. So Racing for Awareness, we're on Facebook, we have racingforawareness.com. We're on Twitter, but, you know, I'm not a big Twitter guy, but we do have a Twitter page out there, something that I think we'll get more involved in as everything goes. We're waiting on one more change to our flyer, and then that's going to be actually released with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They're going to be actually releasing that to their social media as well as our go-kart event coming up. So we're about to take off, man. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that ride, to ride with you guys, and hopefully see a checkered flag somewhere along the way in 2017.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, Joy.
We'll see you guys next Monday night. We'll be ready to rock and roll. Thank you all. Have a great night.
Looking forward to it, Joey. Thanks.
You got anything closing out here on us?
Nope. Just congratulations on your one-year anniversary, and keep it going.
Thank you, Jeff. And looking forward to hanging out with you down in Daytona. Man, we're gonna knock them loose in Daytona. I want everybody to kind of stay tuned. Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about it today. I'm getting excited.
Maybe on me too. Me too.
Yeah,
thanks,
add my name
Jeff
to the list, guys.
Mark, anything you want to on our close out here?
Just looking forward to that 11 days and 8 days for when we get down there. And, boy, it's going to be tough to top this show tonight, Rowdy. We've got our work cut out for us, but we'll give it our best, and we're going to have another good one next week.
Man, first of all, let me thank Victor Garcia and Elmore Engines for being part of this show. Hey, we're in archives. If you didn't get it all the first time, you can go back, check the archives, and you'll be able to get the full story just as it come out of the guy's mouth. Brett Holmes, man, thanks, Brett, for coming back on. I believe this makes Brett's third appearance, and every time he gets bigger and better, and I can't wait to have him in on our new Victory Lane ceremony for next year or this year.
We're going to have him on Victory. He's going to be one of our Victory Lane guys this year, Rowdy. I have a feeling.
I do, too. I mean, he's got great equipment. He's a great young driver, and he's got that. Hey, he's got General Tires and that Elmore engine. How can he go wrong?
You can't, Rowdy. He's got the ARCA package. He's gonna. He seems to have adjusted to it well. I think he's gonna have some really good surprising runs this year and open up some eyes for some people.
Well, guys, after 1 year of this show, hey, that light has shined brightly on us, and everybody that knows and runs around with me knows about the light, and we've been awesome. It's been an awesome,
happy
awesome
anniversary,
year.
Rowdy. It's well deserved. You put a lot of work and time into this effort, and you're getting to pay see the dividends of it. And we're just going to get better and better. Thanks for having me along.
Hey, thanks for y'all coming along and being part of it. And I'm going to do our outro on this. And hey, you know, if it's Monday night, it's going to be Rowdy Maglite Racing. Till next weekend, Mark.
All right, Rowdy.